Good morning. Greet you all in Jesus' name this morning. I trust that you've come praying for this service. How many of you have ever, can you remember the days when you dished out a plate of food and you just got full and you couldn't eat it? Remember those days? I think that's the way I feel this morning in preparing for this sermon. Someone has taken a survey of what congregations want to hear preached about. And what preachers fear to preach on. They took a dual survey. And what congregations want to hear, what the result of the survey was, that they want to hear a sermon on the book of Revelation. And the counter was true, that the preachers feared to preach mostly on the book of Revelation. That is what I'm going to attempt to do this morning. It could be a fearful task, because there are so many differing views on Revelation. And it could be controversial, because there's a lot of controversy surrounding Revelation. And if you are here this morning and you have a much differing view than what you hear presented this morning, I'm okay with that. I have a lot of brethren that do. I am sort of a lone wolf in a big crowd of other opposition. But as I study the scriptures, I see in the book of Revelation that we are to understand that it's the Word of God. And that we are to read and hear and understand the book of Revelation. So I have some handouts, because this sermon, it could get tedious and I could lose you. I have handouts this morning, and I'm asking Glenn to pass those out as far as they go. And I want you to follow along with this outline. I'm not sure how, you might have to share your outline with your neighbor. I don't know that we have quite enough for everybody. While we're doing that, let's sing a verse of Fully Surrendered, Lord Divine. Fully surrendered, Lord Divine, I will be true.
Thank you.
appreciate Brother Keith's prayer. I would like to offer just a short prayer before we go into the message. Let's pray. Dear Lord, what we know not, teach us. What we have not, give us. What we are not, make us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like you to turn to the first chapter of the book of Revelation. We're going to take most of our points from there. We have a lot of ground to cover this morning. I would like to get done on time this morning. But I feel that it's important that we understand the book of Revelation is something not to be feared, but something to be blessed by. One of the main words of the book of Revelation is blessed. Blessed are they. Blessed are they that keep and read, and so forth. So let's read the first 8 verses of Revelation. Let's all stand again and let's read it together. First 8 verses of the book of Revelation. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his disciples things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the 7 churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the 7 spirits which are before this throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to be glory and dominion forever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. You may be seated. Number 1. 6 keys to understanding the book of Revelation. And number 1, it is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to John. Notice the word revelation is singular. It's not revelations. It is, which is plural. It is revelation. The Apostle John did not have revelations, but a revelation which God gave unto him. It was a single revelation. It was not multiple revelations. I think that's very important that we understand and use this word rightly, is that it is the revelation. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to John. Why are we so fearful about a revelation of Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ is what we are if we're Christians, right? We are little Christs. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. The revelation is something that we should not fear. Now, I would like to make a disclaimer right up front and say that I'm not in command of everything about Revelation, and I don't know what some things mean. I'll freely admit that. So it is with intrepidation that I take on this task. Second bullet point is the word revelation means unveiling. The unveiling of the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. We see in the book of Revelation, we see the pre-incarnate Jesus in chapter 13 and verse 8. We see the birth of Jesus Christ in Revelation 12 and verse 1. We see the teaching of Jesus Christ in many places in the book of Revelation. The death and sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and it talks about the Lamb of God before the throne and so forth. The ascension of Jesus Christ, the pouring and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit on the church. His work as the mediator during the church age. And finally, the consummation of the day of grace when Jesus himself will judge the world as a righteous judge, and the prophecies his and the prophecies of his and our final triumph. Let's look at some of these verses. Turn with me to Revelation 13:8. We want to see what the book of Revelation contains or what it is. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. In verse 8 of Revelation 13, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." This is talking about the dragon and the beast. We could read more, starting in verse 4. "And they worshiped the dragon, which gave unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" There is a beast, my dear friends, this morning, there's a beast system. And it's the system in the world that is inspired by Satan. "And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blaspheming, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth and blasphemed against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds, tongues, and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life in the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world." Now this morning we are sitting here, we are observing our society in 2021 and the world situation. And we're wondering, you know, what? How can this be? How could people get more filled with unbelief and be more against the gospel? Well, here we have the answer. There is a system that is making war with the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And, you know, we think about the situation in Haiti this morning. Should we be surprised? Should we be surprised that people... There's a group out there that don't want Christians, that don't like Christians, that are capitalizing on the name Mennonite and so forth, and Cam and all that. We don't want to talk about that necessarily. But dear ones, this morning, what I want to say is this verse here in verse 8 mentions Jesus Christ. He was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He was slain before the foundation of the world. He alone was the product of God's decree to come down and be a sacrifice for who? For me, for you. Dear ones, this is special this morning that this God was not in a predicament. He had a plan. He was not in a predicament and said, "Oh, we're going to have to figure this out. They have sinned." He already had a plan. Jesus was planned in pre-incarnate, before he came to this world. This morning, let's go to Revelation 5 and verse 8. There's so much. And here we are in the throne room of God. Revelation 5 talks about, verse 1 says, I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written. And then we could talk about that for quite a while. There was a throne and a book that was written and the backside sealed with seven seals. My dear people, this is the gospel. This is the gospel that went out through all the earth. Who was worthy to open the book and loose the seals thereof? Well, there was no one that was worthy except a lamb that had been slain. In verse 8. And then it says in verse 6, and then in verse 8, it says, and we had taken the book, four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Dear ones, this tells us about the outpouring and of the Holy Spirit and the prayers of the saints going up to the throne room of God. Do you know that? That's very inspirational to me. That when you pray, your prayer goes to heaven. You can, there's a personal attendance to each one of your prayers. And dear ones, that's special to me. He is our mediator during the church age. He is the one who is mediating for us in our sinful world. He is pleading our cause to Jesus Christ. Third bullet point under this, it is not an eschatological playground for prophecy buffs, but dear ones, it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. There's many arguments that surround this prophecy, and I would like to say that I have argued some myself, but it is not a playground for prophecy buffs, but the revelation of Jesus Christ. This book is dead serious. Number two, Revelation was written to the church. Going back to chapter 1, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which was and which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits around his throne. Again, those seven spirits are poured out now, and it's the complete. Seven is complete, and it's poured out upon the church. Revelation was written to the church. It was also written to the seven churches. There were seven churches around Asia that it was written to. Now, dear ones, as I understand church history, there was many more than seven churches. But to the seven churches, this was a universal number, a complete number that John wrote. And I believe there was the church of Smyrna and had an address. There was a church of Philadelphia. There was a church of Laodicea and so forth. The seven churches which are in Asia, that's who it was written to. Secondly, the revelation was written to the church of all ages. And to sum up its message, it is the message of the triumph of the church, the ultimate defeat of all the enemies of the church. It is the prophetic narrative from the church's inception until its consummation at the second coming of Jesus Christ. Here it is. This is the story of the church written in prophetic form. the book of Revelation, that's what it's all about, is that it's from its inception, and when Jesus died on the cross, and the covenant was changed, until its consummation at the second coming of Jesus Christ. That's the story. It's in prophetic form. It is written as a warning to the servants of Christ, and also a consolation to them of ultimate victory. The reality is that the church would face persecution and tribulation. Many in the church would face death and be martyred. Turn with me to John chapter 16 and verse 33. Jesus speaking here, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have what? Tribulation. In the world ye shall have tribulation." Why tribulation? Because we are at odds with the world. We are at odds with the world system. By the way, are you at odds with the world system? Are you? Or are you running around listening to country music, contemporary music, going where you know better that you shouldn't go? Are you at odds with the world? Young men, are you at odds with the world? Young girls, what about it? That's the way you tell. That's one of the things you can gauge your assurance by, whether you're a Christian or no. Let's go back to Revelation, chapter 17 and verse 6. Now, here we want to talk later about Babylon a little more, but here we see, "I saw the woman," this woman Babylon, the harlot, "and I saw the woman, she was drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration." Let's go to Revelation 20. 20 and verse 4. "And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus Christ and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. It is normal, my dear people. It is normal. And this is a message of the book of Revelation. It is normal for the church to suffer persecution, tribulation. We are living in an unnormal time of church history where we don't suffer persecution. But it is normal to suffer, for the church to suffer persecution like they are in Haiti this morning. It's the normal thing. get ready. Persecution is coming. Persecution has been, but persecution is coming. It also warns the opposition deception that the church would face from the world system. The beast, the dragon, the antichrist system. There's a whole group, a whole system that is set against the church this morning. And John the Revelator saw fit to call it the beast. We could go to verses. He saw fit to call it a dragon. And it's implied the Antichrist system. Horrible names. But we are against the beast and the dragon. And a whole system is set against us in the world. My dear people, don't go there. We have the choice to be separated from the world. We have the choice to be part of the church. We have the choice to be the servants of God. And they're not worldly minded. It warns of the deceptive nature of commercial Babylon and its economic domination of the world economic system. Let's go to chapter 18, verse 3. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Again, we have this commercial Babylon and its economic web. Someone asked me yesterday when we were talking about, I said I was going to preach in Revelation. Somebody asked me, do you think that might be the internet? Do you think that might be the internet? Well, for sure, it's the tool that the beast system is going to use. The harlot system, the Babylon system. I think that is pretty sure. There is commercial Babylon. It has economic domination. And we could go over to chapter 13 if we had time. And it says in there about a place where you cannot buy and sell unless you have the mark of the beast. So it tells me that there's a time coming when the Christians are going to have to take a stand. It warns of the danger of spiritual Babylon and its deceptive nature. There's a spiritual Babylon also. It's talked about throughout the book of Revelation, where it's talked about it's described as the false prophet or the great whore. The warning is in the context of the great whore, the illegitimate paramour or the woman that steals fidelity to the body of Christ. A paramour is something that is in place of. The whore. The illegitimate paramour that steals the fidelity of the bride of Christ. Let's go to chapter 16. in verse 13. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and to the whole world and to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Dear ones, this is the truth. Babylon is attractive. It is attractive. And it controls the world. The kings of the earth and the powers that be. It's attractive and it's deceptive. Turn over to 17, verses 1 through 5. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me and saying unto me, come hither. I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names and blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with cloud and precious stones, and having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was the name written, Mystery Babylon, the Great, the Mother of Harlots, and the Abominations of the Earth. Reading verse 6 yet. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints, and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. Should it be any surprise to the church? Should it be any surprise to the Christian that we're facing hard times, persecutions? No. This is a prophecy. This is a prophecy of the church age. And it was told in the book of Revelation that we'll face that. It portrays the trinity of Satan, the devil, the beast, and the false prophet. We won't go there. But thankfully, the words overcome, overcame, and overcometh are mentioned 12 times. And the triumph of the church is mentioned many places, and it's assured. Praise God. Praise God. It is a reality, dear ones, tonight, this morning, that we can claim triumph and we can overcome and be conquerors. The throne and its inhabitants collaborate with the church on earth through the presence of the Holy Spirit, which is dwelling in all you Christians and all us Christians, through the prayers of the saints. How much time have you spent praying? How much time have you spent praying lately? God hears those prayers. Thirdly, the time of fulfillment of the revelation is the church age. The revelation covers a period of time from Jesus' first advent, his birth and life, and crucifixion and ascension to his second advent or his second coming. And this was, according to verse 1, it says, is to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And then verse 3 really rubs it in, says, for the time is at hand. The revelation was to commence shortly. John penned Revelation in the first century, probably about 96 AD. It means that the events are the prophetic unveiling church age of which the revelation is about. And it was to commence shortly or imminently. This does not mean every detail would be fulfilled immediately, but its prophecies would begin to take place immediately. Number four, the nature of the book of Revelation. Go back to Revelation 1 and verse 1. And it says here, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. He sent and signified. You know what the word signified means? It means indicate. Indicate. So the book of Revelations is a lot of indications. It is signified. It is indicating. It means that there is a lot of images that are indications. Word pictures of the intended meeting. The book of Revelation is mostly in signified terms, or in our day, we might say symbolic terms, word pictures of the intended meaning. Numbers in the book are mostly symbolic, colors are symbolic, images are symbolic, word meaning is symbolic, and so forth. Numbers, I think, are very important to note those. Number one is a short time. We could go to chapter 18 and verse 7 and see that. The number four is the earth and the mass of humanity. The four winds of the earth, chapter 7, 1, the four angels stood at the four corners of the earth, and they held up, that was humanity. Six is the number of a man. Man was created on the sixth day. Seven is completeness. We see that when the world was created, seven made the week complete. Ten is the number for power and tribulation to the church. 12 and its multiples is the number for the redeemed. Dear ones, how many tribes were there in Israel? How many? 12. How many apostles in the New Testament? 12. That gives us an indication of what the number 12 means. And throughout the book of Revelation, you see 24 elders around the throne. You see 144,000, that number. A multiple of 12. So my dear people, 12 is an indicative number of the redeemed. And you can carry this throughout Revelation, and it holds true almost every place. One thousand is many or a long time. That's indicative. It's taken in a figurative sense. Let's go to Psalm 50 and verse 10. Psalm 50 and verse 10. This simple verse says, "For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills," or indicates that they are God's also. Is thousand in verse 10, is it to be taken as an exact number, or is it to be taken as an indication? Well, I think all honest Bible readers can say that. Oh, let me ask you a question. On the thousand, if it's taken in exact literal means, what happens with the cattle that are on a thousand and one hill? Whose are they? You have a thousand hills, they're all God's. And a thousand one, the thousand one hill is whose? Whose cattle are they? When you take it in a figurative sense, you understand the meaning. It's many, and we could look at many scriptures like this. Words are symbolic. Sea means heathen and nations and people. The book of Revelation talks about the sea. That means nations and people. We could go to verses. Sodom and Egypt are symbolic words. Let's go over to chapter 11 and verse 3. Must have wrote down the wrong verse there. Verse 8 is what I wanted. It's talking about the two witnesses. Now you can debate who the two witnesses are. And then in verse 8, it says something that I want to get to. "And their dead bodies," these two witnesses were killed, "and their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which is spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified." How many of you believe that Sodom or Egypt was where Jesus was crucified? Was it? Was Jesus crucified in Sodom and Egypt? He was crucified in Jerusalem. What does Sodom and Egypt mean then? Sodom and Egypt are indications of the reason Jesus came to cleanse the world of sin. Sodom, horrible sin, homosexuality, living for self. Egypt, always a type of the bondage of the church. And I want to finish up with the cyclic nature of the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation, to understand it best, is here. It is not chronological. It is parallel cycles of time, parallel with each one, each cycle, each part of the vision, talking about a different aspect. And we can see that. Revelation 2 and 3, the message to the seven churches. Revelation 4 through 7, the seals, the throne of God in heaven. Revelations 8 through 11, the seven trumpets and the persecution of the church. Revelation 12 through 14, the enemies of God. Revelation 15 and 16, the bowls, the pouring out of severe and catastrophic events near the end of time. Could be COVID is part of that. Revelation 17 and 19, the judgment of harlot Babylon. And Revelations 20 through 22, the close-up of the final judgment and the vindication of the saints. The book of Revelation has a message to the church. It is this. Not eschatology, but it's to get ready. The world system is against the church. The beast, the dragon, the harlot, Satan, the devil, they're all against the church. May God help us in this day in which we live to be faithful. To love, it says in Revelations 20, they loved not their lives unto the death. And they were willing to give the testimony of Jesus Christ. How about it? Are you testifying for Jesus? If any man shall take away the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in the book. He which testified these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, Lord Jesus, come. How about meeting somebody in Walmart? And asking them, do you know that Jesus is coming? That's what we are to do. Surely I come quickly. You're supposed to say those things. And then the testimony. Even so, come. Here he comes. Come, Lord Jesus. Are you ready? Are you ready? Let's pray.